Today the church celebrates the what is within Slavic circles somewhat major feast, the feast of the protection of the Mother of God. And there is a story behind it, of course, a story now that's 1,000 years old, of where praying in the temple of Blachernye in Constantinople, there was a certain Saint Andrew, the fool for Christ, who during the long evening vigil had a vision of the Mother of God coming and putting her veil over the people and as a sign of prayer and praying and then also protection. And, of course, this is in a time of many troubles, and so the feeling and the revelation strengthened the people. But it was also distinctly felt that the people were protected from destruction, from the wars that they were fighting. And this is something very common in the Orthodox world. And in many ways, it's an inside discussion. You know, people outside the Orthodox Church wouldn't really understand it. Maybe some Roman Catholics would understand it. But inside the Church, you know, when we think of any battle from Orthodox countries where they had to go to war, the protection of the Mother of God has always been sought. And I'm not going to speak much on the protection of the Mother of God today, but I just want to say one thing to help contextualize it in people's minds. You know, many view God as a egotistical gangster. What do I mean? I mean that we hear people that would say that you know, an egotistical gangster needs all the praise. He needs all the credit. He is the only one who can receive any sort of praise and credit. Now, in some ways, that's true. You know, he provides the context. I mean, the world doesn't exist without God. God sends his only begotten Son into the world to save us, and only God can do that. Only God can shed forth and create the context in which we live. But what's miraculous about God's creation is that he allows us to participate in it. And much worse, much better than that, is that he allows us to participate in his healing and his manifestation towards our fellow humans, you know. So God doesn't say, in today's gospel, it says, go and, you know, love your neighbor. It says, do good and don't expect anything in return. Well, that is inspired by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and we're allowed to participate in that grace if we so choose. And so for us, it's nothing to think of the protection of the Mother of God, because in other circumstances, we've also possibly felt protected when our grandmother prayed for us, or protected when our father prayed for us, or when the church came together to intercede on our behalf when we are struggling. We felt the grace, and personally have felt this since our house got knocked down a little bit. You know, my wife and I commented it was remarkable that we felt prayed for in a substantial way. It was as if you were riding on the wings of it. So this is the way we perceive the protection of the Mother of God, that ultimately, because she stands before the Christ and she prays for us, and that she has that, and so we have recourse to her. And this is very common, of course, in the Orthodox life. Now, at every feast like this, dedicated to the Mother of God, there's a certain reading, and a certain reading is always about Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha, this gospel reading is very interesting. You know, of course, Jesus is going to Martha's house, and Martha is busy giving hospitality to Jesus and the people with him. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, it's very unusual for Mary to be sitting at Jesus' feet in the context of the society. Now, we can think about it this way. There's a bunch of men sitting around in a room, and here's a young woman. In the culture at that time, the proper place for a young woman or a woman was to be helping her sister in the kitchen, not to be sitting with the rabbi. And as a matter of fact, there are certain in the Talmud and in various places I read something, I can't remember, but it was very, of course, not politically correct, but slanderous for our time, that it was almost better to burn toast than it was to try to teach a woman, you know, the commandments in the rabbinic tradition. And this was kind of the general attitude of the people. Of course, what's miraculous about Christ is that he doesn't say, "Get out of here, woman. You know, it's better to go burn toast." Don't quote me on that, you know. That's not the literal. It was very close to something that insulting, though, in certain rabbinic traditions. He doesn't. He has her sit there. And her sister, like many of us, are busy doing things to be hospitable, doing the things that in one way are necessary, but in some ways have become all-consuming, that we miss out on what's important. Because in today's gospel, our Lord never condemns Martha for her busyness. He says she is busy and troubled about many things. So what's his problem? She's neglected the one thing needful. And Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, has taken that better part, that she has focused on being filled and listening and being a disciple of our Lord, despite the cultural context and despite the fact that there must have been a certain pull on her heart to go and help her sister. She wasn't simply being lazy and negligent. She was receiving something from Christ. So our Lord doesn't condemn Martha, but we have to think about it, especially in our context, because this translates very well for us into a modern thing, is that many of us are busy. And we're so busy that we look around and we see people who aren't busy and we wonder what they're doing and we resent it. We often wonder, Bishop Michael used to say, the mule who's pulling the biggest load doesn't have time to kick. In other words, when we're working really hard, we don't always have time to stand around and complain. We're busy working. But yet in our hearts, resentments can build up about those around us who are not doing anything. And this is particularly when we contrast, let's say, the active life of Christianity. In other words, the active life being service to the poor, you know, works of mercy, going out there and being in the soup kitchen, setting up the church building, putting together the services, doing things that are active and concrete. Many of the active people can also often resent those who seem inactive. And some of those inactive people are actually simply receiving the word. They're contemplating Christ. How do we receive, like Mary received Jesus? We receive him when we take time to read the scriptures, and not simply to read them, but to meditate on them, to spend time in the scriptures. We receive Jesus and we sit at his feet when we go to prayers and we pray and we pour our hearts out, sometimes formally with the formal prayers, but oftentimes as a dialogue where we speak, but we also listen. We can receive Jesus, sit at his feet, by coming to church and listening to the wonderful preaching at St. Innocent Church. We can receive Jesus in many of these ways that seem very passive for those who are doing the work. And that is good, and that we should do that. And if we're not living in some sense a contemplative life, where we are trying to sit at the feet of Jesus, then we're missing the best part, and we're missing the most important part of being a Christian. Our temptation, or my temptation, is to be more like Martha. I'm too busy to sit at Jesus' feet. And wouldn't I like it if someone helped me so I could go sit at his feet? But woe is me, no one's going to help me. And so, oh Lord, Why don't you strike them for me? Wake them up. Get them moving. Don't they see what work has to be done? And the most important part of this is the work needs to be done. I can't imagine not being busy and not doing the work. And Jesus rebukes Martha. He says, Martha, Martha, in a very gentle way. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Why is one thing needful? Because if you're busy emptying yourself doing works, but you're not contemplative, but you haven't taken the time to be filled, then ultimately you're, as Paul says, a clanging cymbal, an empty, dry bone rattling. Someone who does the work of Christ in society should also be someone who is filled with Christ, not empty and devoid of Christ, simply working. And this is the balance that we have to. It's not that it's condemned to work. It's not that it's condemned to contemplate. But that our work be filled with the grace of God, because we have done the most important part, which is meditating on the Scriptures, praying, sitting at Jesus' feet, receiving the sacraments, absorbing our Lord's presence in our life in whatever way that we can absorb His presence. That is what is supposed to inform our work. So, taking today's gospel, let us think of ourselves and find whether we are Mary and Martha. Now, some of us aren't doing anything. I don't know which one of you is. Some of us aren't doing anything, and we're not contemplating either. We're not even sitting at the feet of Jesus. I mean, if you're not working and you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, then what are you doing? Are you even invited to the dinner? At least for Mary or Martha, they're doing something. It's better to merely work and be empty than to do nothing. But again, the major point being, if you're doing nothing, at least let your nothing be focused at sitting at the feet of Christ and filling up with His presence. Again, let's take today's gospel. Let's analyze our own selves. Who are we? Are we more like Mary or Martha? Are we even in the house? Are we even invited? And may God bless us to find the proper balance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.